It's May 12, 2016, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Coming up, the presumptive Republican presidential candidate heads to Capitol Hill in an attempt to smooth ruffled feathers. World leaders are pledging to fight corruption more effectively. We'll hear about the largest diamond of its type found in 100 years.
It has a name. It's called Lesedi La Rona, which it means our light in Botswana's national language.
And the frontman for the rock band Aerosmith creates quite a buzz with a country project. It's all on International Edition. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee, billionaire Donald Trump, met today in Washington with Republican congressional leaders, including House Speaker Paul Ryan. VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone has been following this story, and he's joined us here in the studio. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Susan.
So what are we hearing about these closed-door meetings?
Well, we're hearing a lot of positive things from at least one of the participants, Speaker Paul Ryan, who said it was a very positive step toward unification. Also, Ryan talked about planting the seeds of bringing the party together. He was very encouraged by this initial meeting with Donald Trump. Don't forget, the backstory here is that last week, Ryan refused to endorse Donald Trump, which I should add, by the way, today, he did not endorse him either, but seems to be moving closer in that direction. Trump held a meeting with Paul Ryan and Reince Priebus, who's the head of the Republican National Committee. He also met with other House Republican leaders and later met with members of Senate Republican leadership. So it's all part of a bid here by Trump to get the party united behind him. But from what we've seen today, it seems a step in that direction. But there's some unresolved issues, and even Ryan acknowledges they have differences that are not resolved.
Well, even if the Republican Party presents a unified front behind Trump, that doesn't mean the American voters are going to warm up to him and vote for him in the end.
No, but it's an important step. Look, there's been, by some accounts, if you want to look at it this way, a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. And it's by Donald Trump, and it's by grassroots supporters in the Republican Party who decided in the primaries they wanted a political outsider. They wanted someone with the frankness, some critics would say the recklessness, of Donald Trump to be their nominee. The Republican establishment is still coming to grips with this. This is not going to be a quick process. Even Paul Ryan said today, we're not going to resolve this in 45 minutes. They have deep differences over things like reforming the American entitlement programs, health care for the aged, for example, that are not going to go away overnight.
Well, do you think Trump is going to have to backtrack on some of his proclamations, like wanting to build a wall at the Mexican border, temporarily blocking Islamic visitors to the United States, these fringe ideas he has? Is he going to have to change his ways?
No sign of that right now, no. I think what Ryan was saying was they're accentuating the positive. They're accentuating where they agree on core principles. In the broader sense, Ryan has been critical of Trump's comments about women, about Muslims, about immigrants, and they have deep differences on some of these issues. The question I think here is, and we don't know the answer yet, how far will they be able to go with bringing this party together behind Trump? Because if the party's not united come the fall campaign, come the November election, and Republicans stay home, that's a real weak point for Trump.
And they're really worried that Trump will not be able to beat Clinton, Hillary Clinton.
Yes, but there also noticed some polls this week in some key states that showed them neck and neck. In one case in Ohio, Trump ahead of Clinton. That's the kind of data that Republicans are looking for to say, okay, maybe this guy can beat Hillary Clinton. Maybe we should get behind him. We're still in the throes of a party coming to grips with Trump's candidacy. It's going to be a work in progress. And frankly, in the modern era, that's what party conventions are for, to bring everybody together. Maybe by the time they get to Cleveland in July, they will have a better handle on bringing the party together.
And I imagine the Democrats are enjoying this problem in the Republican Party.
Well, they better not enjoy it too much. If Trump is successful and does bring the party together, that's one more sort of advantage for Trump and the Republicans. Democrats would love to see the party disunited. Hillary Clinton would love to pick off some Republican voters in the fall campaign.
Okay, thanks for your insight, Jim. As always, sure. We always appreciate you stopping by the studio. And also joining us here at the anchor desk is our social media reporter, Andrew Palchevsky, and he has information about this political situation. Andrew.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about this meeting and what it means, really. You have people questioning if it actually is a step towards the unity that they say they're working towards, or is it just maybe Paul Ryan caving? And he said that he wouldn't support Trump, and he said he has lots of problems with Trump. People are saying, oh, he's equivocating now. He's going back on what he said, and he's actually trying to compromise with him. On the other side, you have Trump supporters who are saying, this is a no-brainer. Of course he should be supporting him. He's the party's nominee. So there's a lot of back and forth on that, a lot of questions about their motives. And there's a lot of anger, I guess you could say, or disbelief among people at just how much coverage this is getting. I saw more than a few tweets about how on some news stations they had breaking news, Trump is visiting a law firm in D.C. They said, really, is this really breaking news? Do we really need to follow him? I mean, outside the Republican National Committee, we saw these photos of just this gaggle of press and supporters and protesters and all these things going on. People saying, really, does this warrant all this coverage and all this attention for Donald Trump? So I think people may be getting sick of all of his antics and the constant media attention on him.
Yeah, well, they could have held it somewhere where they wouldn't have all that media attention. They could have just gone someplace quietly and had their meeting. So I think a little bit of this is staged.
I think so. I think it's very well choreographed. And it's a question, too, as many people are asking, who's doing the choreographing? Is it the Trump campaign? Is it the Republican National Committee? Or is it a little bit of both?
You got anything else going today for me?
Yeah, we have a story about George Zimmerman. Of course, he shot and killed Trayvon Martin, a young black teen in Florida in 2012. And he's been a controversial figure ever since.
He was found not guilty, though. He's found
he was found not guilty, but he claimed self-defense, but he's been a controversial figure, to say the least.
Yes.
Well, he's now put the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin up online for auction. And this is worldwide become a trending topic. Lots of outrage, people saying it's just distasteful and crass. That's probably the nicer things they're saying. Some of the other things are just that he shouldn't be doing this, really.
Does he have it for sale?
It's on an online auction website, and that's actually a lot of questions on social media. Will this get shut down? Because
it's
created so much attention, so much negative attention, that it's, you know, people are wondering if it's going to get shut down. And I struggle to read some of these things because some of the comments are very heated, and they use some language that we can't use. But just to say the least, it's getting a lot of outrage.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
We invite you to follow the internet stream at VOA_IE. In the top of the news, U.S. and Britain at a London summit share blame for pandemic corruption. The Brazil Senate votes to suspend the president pending an impeachment trial. A Pakistani official says his nation is hesitant to take action against the Afghan Taliban on its soil because of the threat of retribution. Border controls between some EU member states will be allowed to continue for 6 months. The presumptive U.S. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump meets with the party's top elected official, Paul Ryan, to air their differences. News, feature reports, and more are on the voanews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Last fall, the internet lit up when a group of astronomers from Pennsylvania State University released a paper that suggested a star's unusual light fluctuations was consistent with a swarm of alien-constructed megastructures. The star is known as KIC-846-2852 and is located more than 1,500 light-years from Earth in the constellation Cygnus. Another study released earlier this year by a Louisiana State University astronomer supported the alien megastructure theory and doubted that the star's dimming behavior was due to natural occurrences. Scientists at Vanderbilt University analyzed those observations used to formulate the Louisiana study. While they still consider the star's behavior a mystery, they found no credible evidence that indicates an alien influence and that natural causes may indeed be behind the star's weird dimming pattern. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
World leaders and diplomats pledged together in London today to fight pandemic corruption more effectively. They had gathered for an anti-corruption summit hosted by Prime Minister David Cameron. Also on hand was correspondent Luis Ramirez, who joins us on the line. Welcome, Luis.
Hi, Susan.
Well, please tell us about this pledge.
Well, it is a communique that's been issued. What we have is nations pledging to take concrete action to do more to identify, to expose, and to punish corruption. Each country is committing to provide a report on what its efforts are. Now, what is different about this summit is that the focus was off the nations that are typically blamed for corruption, nations like Afghanistan, Nigeria, long known for very bad corruption records. The focus is on the countries that are facilitating that corruption, countries like Britain and the United States, whose banks and real estate markets are places where the stolen money is deposited.
Well, this also comes in light of the Panama Papers.
Well, the Panama Papers showed the world just how the rich and powerful hide their money. Sometimes it's money that's honestly earned, sometimes it's not. In any case, it is hidden to avoid paying taxes. That is something that world leaders are very concerned about. What it is it's a concern about legitimacy, how the perception that leaders are not paying their fair share in taxes, are hiding money that in some cases stolen from the countries that they come from, and then put into banks in places like Britain and the United States. It's funny that this summit is being held in London, which is known as a tax haven in the world. The price of real estate in London has been driven up quite dramatically, largely from investments by Russian oligarchs. And so that certainly is cause for concern among British politicians and for David Cameron, who definitely sees a political risk at allowing this to go on and being seen as though he is not doing anything about it.
And I understand Secretary Kerry had a few words to say. Can you share details?
Secretary Kerry had some very interesting remarks where he equated the fight against corruption to the fight against extremism, drew a very, very direct line between the issue of corruption and the issue of extremism. He pointed to the example of Tunisia, of course, the birthplace of the Arab Spring in 2011, demonstrations there that quickly turned violent and resulted in the ouster of a very corrupt government. Those demonstrations began out of the anger of a fruit vendor who was so fed up with having the police shake him down that he, in protest, set himself on fire. This touched off the Arab Spring. The rest is history, much of it unfortunate history, because, of course, those rebellions spread to places like Libya and Syria that are now hotbeds for extremism.
Is there a reason why the conference was held now?
It follows the revelations of the Panama Papers, which certainly raised awareness in the world and especially in Britain at, again, how the rich and powerful hide their money and just the extent of world corruption. The focus has always been on developing countries, on what corrupt African generals and dictators and dictators in Latin America, places like that, have been doing with the money they steal. The focus now on exactly how it's put to work and the role that nations like the United States and Britain play in helping them hide it.
Well, thank you very much, Luis, for speaking with us today from London.
Thank you, Susan.
Coming up on International Edition, holy moly, wait till you hear about this gem. Hen rocker Steven Tyler goes country. This sounds like the find of a century for gem enthusiasts. It's the largest gem-quality diamond discovered in more than 100 years. VOA's Deborah Block is following the story and joins us here in the studio. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Susan.
Well, tell us about this gem.
Well, first of all, it's a gem-quality rough diamond. It's approximately 3 billion years old. It's
wow.
Hard to fathom, isn't it? And it's about the size of a tennis ball, and for those of you who haven't seen a tennis ball, this means it measures about 65 millimeters by 56 millimeters by 40 millimeters, and it's 1,109 carats. And it was unearthed last November at a Canadian-owned mine in the southern African country of Botswana. And it apparently has this exceptional beauty for being a rough diamond. I mean, to you and me, it looks like a nice crystal, something we might put on display maybe in our bookshelf at home. But for diamond enthusiasts, apparently it's just exceptional quality, has beautiful transparency, and it could become the largest top quality diamond ever to be cut and polished. And by the way, it has a name. It's called Lesedi La Rona, which it means our light in Botswana's national language. And the diamond was on display last Saturday for a couple of days in New York, including for the public to see. And it's also going to be displayed in London before it's auctioned on June 29th. It will be there for a few days for people to see.
If I had a diamond that big, I wouldn't be able to lift my hand up, you know?
Well, I don't even know if you could afford this diamond.
I don't think so.
You know the price?
No.
Let's see if you can get anywhere near this price, folks. I don't think many of us listening to this report can. It is supposed to sell for at least $70 million.
Wow.
I mean, that's hard to even fathom how much money that is.
Yeah. Now, are they going to chop it up at some point after they sell it? Will it'll be made to chop, or are they going to keep it whole and just polish it up?
Well, if you pay $70 million for a big crystal, which is what a diamond is in effect, a 3-billion-year-old crystal, you can imagine the person can do or the company can do whatever they want with it. But in the past, large diamonds like this are usually cut up and, you know, made into these extraordinary stones.
I understand there was another huge diamond found in South Africa in 1905.
That's right. There's actually a larger diamond that has been found. That's gem quality, that is. There are other big diamonds, but they may not be gem quality. And this one is almost three times larger than our light. It's called the Cullinan, and it was a 3,106-carat diamond. That was discovered in a South African mine. That particular diamond was cut into 9 pieces, and the largest of which are part of Britain's crown jewels. It's in one of the crowns, in fact, and in the first star of Africa, one of them is called, which adorns the royal scepter. And I must admit, I have seen pictures of them, and they are absolutely beautiful when these kinds of high-quality diamonds are cut up.
Well, Deborah, you mentioned that the price of it might be prohibitive to me, but the truth of the matter is that I think I don't have any place to wear that to, so that's why I would stay away from it.
Well, that takes care of that, doesn't it? So you don't have to worry about
no.
the price at all. And apparently neither do I and a whole bunch of us here who are listening. Like I said, $70 million. I just can't even fathom paying that for what I look at as a big rock, but of course, to diamond experts and gem experts, they consider this a find of a century.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Deborah. Always nice to have you by.
Thank you.
This is VOA.
From science and technology, here's what's new.
What's new? Technology that is showing promise on how the brain works with people who have a neurological disorder, attaching a multitude of sensors to Jim Campbell, who has Parkinson's disease. His University of California, San Diego bioengineer Gert Kauenberg and his team, who are now testing this technology that reads connections between the 100 billion neurons in the human brain.
What we'd like to do here is to go one step further and also use technology, advanced technology, but in a means that is more proactive in helping the brain to get around some of its problems, in this case, Parkinson's disease.
Jim Campbell says he'll go through all the testing necessary.
I get the satisfaction that I'm helping them, and I'm hoping that eventually they'll be able to help me.
Decoding the complexities of the human brain, one of the grand engineering challenges of the 21st century. For VOA's What's New, I'm Todd Grossons.
From Bob Dylan and the Beatles to Snoop Dogg, non-country artists doing country music is nothing new. This year, frontman for the rock band Aerosmith, Steven Tyler, has created quite a buzz for his forthcoming country project, complete with a new tour. Nikki Strong of VOA Music joins International Edition Sarah Williams to tell us what he has in store.
Send your kisses my way. Bring your sweetheart to me.
First off, Nikki, why did Steven Tyler decide to go country? Well, he says he has listened to country music as a child, so it has always been a part of him. And what made him actually pursue country was his visit to Nashville a couple of years ago. He went for a couple of award shows and fell in love with the place. And he was offered a deal by Big Machine Label Group. That's a major group. Taylor Swift is on their roster, as well as Tim McGraw. And here we are. He has just about finished up the album and just announced a tour in support of it. He says he thinks country is the new rock and roll. Everyone is trying to stretch out. Apparently, that's what he's doing.
Well, tell us about this tour.
It's called Out on a Limb, which many think is appropriate. I think so. It will feature the band Loving Mary. It kicks off July 2nd through September 13th. It goes across the U.S. and hits Toronto as well. It has been described as an intimate tour where he will do new versions of Aerosmith songs. He will share stories behind the songs, as well as feature cuts from his forthcoming country project. He did say that he would not be doing countrified Aerosmith song on tour. He said, "Walk This Way with a banjo is ridiculous."
Dream on, whatever.
Exactly.
So how does Aerosmith feel about this?
Well, they feel somewhat abandoned by him since he scrapped their previously scheduled 2016 tour to pursue this project. And so far, some members of Aerosmith say they are not impressed with the country music he has released thus far. Not sure if the fans feel the same way. We have yet to see Tyler's journey into country, you know, if it'll really take off. So far, the promotion machine is in full effect, but the jury is out as to whether country music fans will really love his work or not. His first single, Love Is Your Name, did hit the charts, but it didn't do much. I think people will first be curious, but then afterwards, if the songs don't resonate, the project will flop. I think doing the tour will give him an opportunity to see how people respond to the new material, which I think is smart. So we'll see. He definitely has me intrigued.
All right. Well, you can get more country news and music on Country Hits USA with Nikki Strong on VOA 1. You can also submit your comments, questions, and requests on VOA 1's social media accounts. On Twitter, it's VOA_music, and on Facebook, it's simply VOA Music. Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Tell me all your stories. Leave some open for me. Write your name into this song.
We would like to invite you to follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Thanks for joining us for International Edition.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Freedom of the press continues to be under assault in Turkey. Most recently, Can Dündar, editor-in-chief of the leading opposition newspaper Cumhuriyet, and Erdem Gül, the publication's Ankara bureau chief, were sentenced to prison after being convicted of leaking state secrets. State Department spokesperson John Kirby expressed concern over the guilty verdicts issued by the Turkish court, calling on Turkish authorities to support an independent and unfettered media, which is an essential element of any democratic, open society. Meanwhile, Turkey's independent communication network media released a report for the first quarter of 2016, stating that 174 members of the press were either fired or forced to quit, while 28 journalists and 10 publishers were currently under arrest. Turkey was also recently listed by U.S.-based think tank Freedom House as not free in their 2016 Freedom of the Press report. Its score rose 6 points, signifying a deteriorating trend. As Turkey's friend and NATO ally, said Mr. Kirby, we again urge Turkey to abide by its constitutional and OSCE commitments to fundamental principles of democracy, including due process, judicial independence, and freedom of expression. These principles are key elements of every healthy democracy and are enshrined in the Turkish Constitution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email,
visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.